believe it's the end of 2024? Like, we're just days away from this year ending. And, you know, there are times where earlier in the year, it felt like the year was moving slowly. Anybody else feel like that? There are times when it felt like it was moving slowly. And then there were times it felt like it was going so fast. Like, especially as we got near the end, October, November, December, like, what happened? The year just flew by. And now we're within days of 2025. And there's a lot of things that happened this year. You know, you look at the news, you look at what's happening around the world. There were good things, there were not so good things. Even personally, there might have been good things and not so good things that happened this year. Our church got a building, that's a really good thing. That's like, guys, you should be a... We got a building, you know, that's a good thing for our church, but... There was a lot that happened in 2024, and now we're pressing forward and we're moving into 2025. And we've said it here at church a number of times throughout this year. We believe that we are moving into the end times. And the Bible tells us pretty clearly that those times will come with difficulties. And I believe that we are living in difficult times. Looking back over this year, would you agree? Disagree? But we are living in a time that is filled with a lot of difficulty. We're living in a time where emotions are running decision-making. We're living in a time when people's personal preferences are taking precedence over what is true. If you look again back over the course of the year, the things that have been happening, you'll see so many instances of people being led by their emotions and their personal preferences taking precedence over truth. There are many who would choose comfort over conviction. Wow. Faith becomes second nature to feeling, and people have chosen self over surrender to God. It's been a year. And when we look at what's been happening in the world within churches and around, you know, in all of the different countries and in our neighborhoods and in cities and all the things that we've been seeing, when we look around, it is clear many are facing crises. They're in crisis. They're in struggles. Various areas of their lives have been filled with turmoil in their home, in their relationships, in situations with children, in their finances, in their business. Even in the church, we've been experiencing turmoil and difficulties. It's been happening everywhere. No one has been exempt. No area, no arena, no one has been exempt from difficult times. Our health has been affected. Our finances have been affected. There has been no shortage of attacks or problems or hardships this year. There has been none. And as we're stepping into and as we're moving closer into the end times, I got to tell you, friends, that more difficult times are going to come. And you're like, Christine, what are you talking about? It's the end of the year. Like, you know, shouldn't we be talking about something else? No. Because we need to be aware as believers of the time that we're living in. We need to be aware of what's happening around us. We need to be aware of what is to come. And so as we move closer into the end times, things might get harder. Sin may increase. Contentious times may abound. The coming years, as we move closer to the end, as we move closer to the return of Jesus, it's going to test our resolve, friends. It's going to test our ability to actually stand for the one that we claim we live for. It's going to test us. According to the Bible, as we approach the end times, there's going to be a period marked by increasing turmoil, moral decline, and spiritual deception. Wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, lawlessness, and people just giving up on the faith. Like, you know what? I can live my own way. I don't need Jesus. I don't need church. I don't need anybody. And as we stand now in the last few days of 2024, we have to realize, friends, that things might be a little hard as we move forward. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere, okay? Things might be a little bit hard as we move into 2025 and as we move into 2026 and as the years begin to come, things might get hard. I know there's a lot of faith being placed in Donald Trump right now. I don't know if Donald can do everything the media is saying that he'll do. But things are getting harder. And before Jesus left the earth, he warned his disciples of the things that were coming. He didn't leave us without warning. He didn't leave us without notice. He said, hey guys, it's going to get hard. We see this in John 15, verse 18 to 20, when he said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated me first. They didn't like me when I was here. And if you're here and you are with me, they're not going to like you either. And he said, keep this in mind. If they persecuted me, they're also going to persecute you because you belong to me. He shows us in John 16, 33, he says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Somebody say, take heart. Take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, listen, it's going to get hard, guys. It might be difficult, but take heart. You know what take heart means? Don't lose hope. You know what take heart means? Hey, rest in this promise. As I have overcome, you will overcome. He's like, I already did it. I overcame the world. You are not without hope. You are not without a hand. He has done it. We will do it. In Matthew 10, 16, he says this. He says, I am sending you out like a sheep among wolves. That tells us there's a lot of wolves. There are a lot of wolves. There's a lot of agents of the enemy out there just looking for a nice, juicy sheep. So maybe make some curry with or roast, you know. But Jesus told us if we belong to him, difficulties are going to come merely because of the fact that we belong to him. If you belong to Jesus today, difficulties will come. Tell somebody beside you, we're going to face hardships because of Jesus. We're going to face hardships because of Jesus. When we get to heaven, we'll be like, why? But we're going to face hardships because we belong to Jesus. Make no mistakes about it, friends. Hardships come when you are a disciple of Jesus. Difficult times will come if you are a disciple of Jesus. Trying times will come if you've surrendered your life to him and said, hey, this guy is my guy. Hard times are going to come. We see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 24, it says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whosoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. I got to tell you, friends, if you are a disciple of Jesus today, much is required of you. If nobody has told you this before, let me tell you today, as we are ending 2024 and we're stepping into a new year, I want to tell you, friends, as disciples of Jesus, much is required of you. Say it to yourself, much is required of me. There is much required of you, friends. Being a disciple is more than just believing in Jesus. The whole world believes in Jesus. In some form or another, there's religions that will acknowledge him. All these pop stars in the music awards, they acknowledge him. I just want to thank the Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then you look at their life, you're like, he ain't your Savior, man. The whole world acknowledges Jesus. But for those of us who follow him, it's going to require a little bit more. Being a disciple of Jesus requires us to live in denial of self. Denial of self is not self-denial. They sound the same, but if you look at them in their context, they are actually two very different things. Denial of self is not the same of self as self-denial. Denial of self means this. It means that we have fully surrendered our lives, our will, our emotions, our ambitions, our wealth, everything that we have, everything that is part of who you are, you have surrendered to Jesus Christ. That is denial of self. It means that there is no portion of your life that you get to keep for yourself. There is none. There is no portion where you get to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you this, but all this over here is me. There's no part, there's no portion, there is no ounce of you. If you are saved here in this house, there is nothing as a disciple that you can keep for yourself. If you are going to live a life of denial to self, it means that you have given Jesus everything. In life, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your business, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your friendships, your relationships, whatever it is, you cannot give only part. There are no half measures. Can you imagine if you're married and you're giving only a part of yourself to your spouse? You're like, you know what, Asif? Because we're married. I'm going to give you some, but this part over here, this is for me and me alone. It's not going to work. You cannot keep a part of yourself in any marital relationship and still expect that spouse to stay. And so our relationship with Jesus is that between a bridegroom and a bride. And so there is no part of your life, my friends, that you can keep for yourself if you are truly part of his bride. Denial of self means this. It means that everything that you are, every part of your life, every ambition you have, every success you might want to reach, everything that you might want to go after, every goal that you have, all of it is for Jesus. Denial of self. It is the same in the kingdom of God and the church. We are all called to surrender all of ourself to him. All. I didn't say half or a quarter or three quarters or 5/8. It's all. We are required to give all of ourselves to Jesus. We are required to give up everything to the cause of Christ. That sounds like a tall order. I want to tell you today, it's nothing that you cannot do. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We all know the story of Paul, formerly Saul. Paul had ambitions. Paul was a smart guy. He studied for years and years and years. He was this big top guy in the synagogue. He knew his culture. He knew his Torah. He was a successful man, and here he comes. He has this encounter with Jesus, and all of a sudden, his life is radically changed. And so now he is here, having worked so hard to achieve all of these things, and he gets an encounter with Jesus, and his life is radically changed. And now he's telling us, it's no longer me. It doesn't matter what I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be the top dog in the synagogue. I wanted to run things. I wanted to wear all the fancy stuff. It didn't matter to Paul anymore because he realized now that as he is in Christ, who he was and anything he was going to be is all now because Christ lives in him. It no longer lives. Paul died to himself. He put all of his own personal dreams and ambitions in the hands of Jesus. And he said, it is no longer me, Lord, but it is you. Know this today, my friends. A true disciple, you can't outgive them. A true disciple, you can't outserve them. A true disciple, you can't outlove them. A true disciple of Jesus Christ is all in. They have surrendered, they have died to themselves, and now it is Jesus Christ who lives in them, and it is for him that they live. It sounds like a tall order. It's not. Denial of self is about completely yielding to God's will seeking his glory over your own ambitions. It means putting him first. What is it that you have for me, Lord? I will do it. It means that you lift up his name instead of your own. Ouch. You know, there's so many people who are so busy, so focused, so interested in building a name for themselves. People have to know who I am. I have to get a big social media following. I got to get a website. I got to get this. I got to get that. People want to be popular. They want to be famous. They want to build a name for themselves. But when you're a disciple of Christ, you're building his kingdom. Lord, everything I do, let it bring glory to you. Everything that I do, Lord, let somebody else around me see the love that you have for them. And everything that I do, let your name be glorified. You and you alone, Jesus. Denial of self seeks the furtherance of his kingdom and not our own. We're not here to build kingdoms for ourselves, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm not planning to stay here. Is anybody else planning to stay here? Because I'm not. When the rapture happens, I'm gone, guys, and I hope you're all with me. But I'm not planning to stay here, and we were never meant to plan or build a life to stay here. We were never meant to build a kingdom unto ourselves. Look at all of the money I have. Look at all of the houses I have. Look at all of these grand things I have, and we build ourselves. No, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but I'm saying if your focus is only on building a name for yourself, if your focus is only to build a kingdom on this earth for yourself, then you are wrong. You are not living denial of self. You are living for yourself, and that's not what we're called to do as believers. A lifestyle that is focused on denial of self is this. It makes every part of your life available for his service instead of just making time for him. You know, there are people who do that. I have a whole busy week. You know what? I really can't get to church. I can't spend time in the Word. I can't pray. I can't do anything for the Lord. I can't witness to anyone. I can't share my faith. I'm just so busy. I have so many things to do. But God, I'll come to church on Sunday. I'll give you about an hour and a half. That's not a lifestyle that is focused on denial of self. When you are a disciple, you make every part of your life available for him instead of just giving him portions that are convenient for you. We live in a world of convenience, you know? We want the fast food. We want the drive-thrus. We want the quick fixes. Like those times of actually standing in line to wait for something, people get annoyed. I have to wait for 10 minutes? It's 10 minutes. But people quickly get agitated because we want things quick and we want things fast and we want it at our own convenience. But if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's not about your convenience. And it's not about when you can do things. It's about living a life that is surrendered to him. Denial of self is complete surrender in every area of your life to the one who completely surrendered his life for us. He completely surrendered everything. When Jesus came from heaven, when he came and he went to the cross and he surrendered his life, when he paid that price for you, when he paid for all of your sickness and all of your disease and all of the freedom that you need, when he paid for your salvation, he gave everything. There was nothing more that he could give. He surrendered his life to us, for us, and we now are required to surrender our lives for him. As disciples, we are called to live a lifestyle of denial of self. Denial of self is an act of the will. You have to choose it. It's not just going to magically come upon you. You actually have to make a choice to say, Lord, this is how I'm going to live for you. Denial of self is a choice. It's something that you have to choose to do to become a better disciple so you can have a better relationship with Jesus. It's all on us. It's all on us to choose what kind of relationship we want with him. It's all on us to choose how much we're going to give. Can I tell you what I've learned about denial of self in ministry? When you deny yourself for Christ, you stand out from the crowd. When you live a life of denial of self, your passion for him becomes noticeable. Your drive for him becomes noticeable. When you live a life of denial of self, your commitment becomes like a beacon. Wow, she really loves the Lord. When you live a life of denial of self, your love for Jesus becomes so fierce. It's like, you know, love that is jealous like a grave. It just becomes so fierce. Grace and kindness just ooze out of you like oil. Man, we need that. When you live a life of denial of self, you cannot mistaken that person is sold out for the Lord. When we as believers, as disciples, true disciples, actually get to that point where we are willing to live in denial of ourselves, we will burn so hot with a fire it can never be quenched. It doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to serve him. It doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to serve him. It doesn't matter how I feel, I'm going to serve him. It doesn't matter what they say, I'm going to serve him. It doesn't matter anything that comes your way. When you've reached this point in your relationship with Christ, nothing can sway you. That's where we need to be, friends. Someone who's locked in, who's living a lifestyle of denial of self, you don't got to motivate them. They actually motivate you. They actually encourage you to get going. They actually encourage you to serve. They actually encourage you to get involved. Hey, come with me to church. Let's go to our Father's house and let's be in his presence. You don't have to do anything with someone who's sold out, someone who is all in. You don't have to do anything. Denial of self is what true disciples of Jesus are called to do. Now, the other thing I was telling you about, which is self-denial, it's different. It's temporal. Self-denial means that for a period of time, I'm going to give up something. So, like, you know, we've all just eaten really, really good over Christmas. I'm sure we've had cakes and cookies and all these yummy things and a lot of sugar and a lot of carbs. And guess what? January's coming. And so a lot of us are probably going to start refraining from sugar and refraining from carbs and all of those yummy things. We're going to give up pop. We're going to give up whatever it is, those sweet drinks. We're just going to drink water. We are going to deny ourselves the opportunity or the pleasure of eating those things or drinking those things. But how many of you know it's not forever? Because January will come, and as Adisa might tell you, gyms will be full, and people will be all ready to go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get fit. I'm going to live right. I'm going to eat right. And then February comes, and the gym is empty. Self-denial is temporary. We temporarily give up certain comforts, certain pleasures, certain desires for a greater purpose. Our greater purpose is this: I need to lose weight. I'm going to give up some of those yummies. Another example is, you know, when we fast, we are temporarily giving up food or temporarily giving up objects or TV or social media or whatever it is that you're fasting from. You are temporarily giving it up for a greater purpose. But none of this results in a change in your lifestyle. See, we can temporarily deny ourselves things, but the likelihood is that we're going to pick those things up again. We don't continuously fast. You got to eat sometime, and you will eat. We don't continuously stay away from sugar. We don't continuously stay away from these things, but for a period of time, we will engage in self-denial. But I have to tell you something, guys. Temporarily denying yourself things is not a life of denial of self. temporarily denying yourself of things is exactly what it is. It's temporary. Temporarily denying yourself of things is just for a moment. It's just for your own pleasure. It's just for your own goal. It's just for your own ambition. It's just for you. Temporarily denying yourself doesn't result in your life being changed. We are not called to a life of self-denial. We are not called to just temporarily act in a way that we think Jesus would like. When I'm at church, I'm going to act good. When I'm around my Christian friends, I'm going to act well. I'm going to temporarily give up my cussing. I'm going to temporarily give up my bad language. Or I'm going to temporarily give up all of the secular music that I like to listen to because, you know, the people that are around me, they need to know that I'm good. So for a moment, I'm going to give this up. But as soon as you're gone, as soon as the show is over, everything comes back into full effect. You deny yourself temporarily because there is a plan that you have, a goal that you have, something that you want to reach. Self-denial does not indicate a transformed heart. It is just a temporal situation. Don't be fooled, friends, when you see somebody, oh, I can't eat sugar, I'm working out, I'm doing this. Don't be fooled with what you see on the outside, because when they go home, you don't know what they're doing. Don't be fooled when you see someone acting so pious. Oh, I fasted all week and I've prayed all week. You don't know what's happening behind those doors. Fasting and prayer does not mean that your life is completely changed. It is a temporal thing that you engage in for a goal that you've set for yourself. Don't be fooled, friends, with exterior workings of self-denial. It does not mean that someone is actually spiritual. Hello. It does not mean that someone is actually spiritual. There's a lot of people in the kingdom who can talk the talk. They can temporarily put on the show when they're in front of you. But it doesn't mean that that's the sign of them being super spiritual. And it doesn't mean that that's the sign that they are fully committed to the Lord. Self-denial does not equal a transformed heart. And that is what we need in the kingdom. Temporarily putting away our comforts is not what God wants. He doesn't want, as Pastor has said before, no 5-minute nothing. I'm not going to go there. He doesn't want you to temporarily give up things but then pick them up again because they're not good for you. He doesn't want you to temporarily act a certain way but then change your mind or change your disposition because other people are around you. He doesn't want you to live in any temporary kind of situation. Our God is not a temporary God. Our God is not a temporary God. There was nothing temporary about how he moved for you. There is nothing temporary about how he moved, changed things for you. There is nothing temporary about his love, about his commitment to you. There is nothing temporary about our God. He does not want anything temporary from you. He doesn't want it. That is not what he paid that price for. He gave everything. Jesus gave everything that he could give so that we could have better. He is not looking for a temporary follower. He is looking for someone who is sold out and locked in. He is looking for us to live transformed lives, to actually get what he paid for. He wants us to actually live in the freedom that he paid for. He wants us to actually live in the health that he paid for. He wants us to actually live in the blessings that he paid for. But there is a way to get there. And it is not through self-denial. It is not through any temporary means. He is looking for people who will say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but is him who lives in me. He's looking for us to get to this place in our relationship with him. He's looking for us to say, God, it is all you. Jesus, I'm all in. He doesn't want temporary, friends. He doesn't want temporary. He wants us to be at that place where I am no longer going to live for myself. I am no longer going to build for myself. I am no longer going to make decisions for myself. When I live, it is me and it is him. It is no longer I, but it is him who lives in me. And it is me who's choosing to live for him. It's a choice today. He is not looking for people who are full of themselves. He's looking for people who are dead to themselves. He is looking for people who will say, I'm dead to it. God, I don't want the pride. I'm dead to the feelings. I don't want to operate by my feelings. I'm dead to my own selfish ambitions, my own will. I'm dead to all of that. I don't want any of that. I want what you have and what you have alone. When you live in denial of self, not self-denial, when you live in denial of self, you understand that there is more for you. You understand that all of your life is in all of Christ. You understand now that I have no more of my own rights, my own individual decisions. It is now me and him. My own will doesn't exist. It's not about my own happiness or comfort. Let me tell you, sometimes you're going to have to serve God even when you're not happy. Sometimes you're going to have to keep serving him even when it's not comfortable, even when it's hard. You're going to have to keep serving him even when it hurts. You're going to have to keep standing for him even when you don't feel like it. There are so many people who are caught up in their feelings. I don't feel like going to church, so I'm not going. Okay, who's losing? It's not us. I don't feel like I can serve Jesus. I don't feel like I can do. It's not about our feelings. It's not about your feelings, friend. It's about following the example of Jesus. It is about living for him every day, regardless of what comes. Come hell or high water, it is me and Jesus, and we're going to do this thing. That's where we have to be. There is a difference, my friends. There is a difference. There's a difference between people who just follow Christ and people who have decided to be disciples of Christ. There's a difference. There's a difference between being a follower and being a disciple. See, as a follower, you might think Jesus is pretty cool. He's a good guy. He teaches like some really cool things, you know, love each other, don't hate. You know, he talks about grace. I love to receive grace. Ask me to give it, I might stop there. But I love to receive it. I'm not talking to anybody here. This is just something that happens, right? He's looking for those who are willing to move from the, hey, he does cool miracles. He does cool things. I like to see what he does. I like to hear what he says. But then when it's time for the rubber to meet the road, I don't know. I might not really commit all that way. And so we begin to take steps back. We begin to change our mind. We begin to temporarily shift our focus because now it's no longer the cool guy Jesus. It's no longer all the cool things he does. Now he wants me to actually do work. Now he wants me to actually commit. Oh, he said the C word. I gotta commit? There's a difference, my friends, between being a follower of Christ and being a disciple. Jesus had a lot of followers. You read the stories and the accounts of all the great things he did. There were always multitudes of people around him. They always wanted to see, what was he doing? What is he going to say? What's going to happen today? Is he going to heal somebody? Is somebody else going to get freed from demons? Oh my gosh, is somebody else who was dead going to raise to life? What is he going to do? They followed him everywhere. But you notice the Bible only tells us that he only had 12 disciples. He had many, many, many followers. Many followers. Many people who thought he was a good guy. Many people who liked what he did. Many people who liked to receive from his hand. But the actual people who wanted to commit and follow him, it was only 12. And then we lost one because he was stupid. So then there was 11. That was Judas, by the way. Many are willing to follow him, but only out of their convenience. Oh, yeah, you know what? My Saturday's free. I can go to church. Oh, sorry I said that out loud. Oh, you know, like I'm not feeling too well. Maybe I'll go to that church and get them to pray for me, and maybe I'll get healed. Out of convenience, we follow him. Out of curiosity, I wonder if he can do it, we follow him. In John 6:26, it says this. It gives us a story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. You guys all know that story? It was actually 5,000 men and then women and children. So there's actually more than 5,000 people there. But Jesus, he looked at the crowds and he said, "You are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves I provided and you had your fill. You just wanted my hand. You're here because you want my benefits." You know, too many people engage in this friends with benefits relationship with Jesus. But it's not reciprocal, okay? They just come and they try to get what they can from Jesus when they want it, when they need it. But if they're not in need and they're not in want, then they're not in love. Many followed Jesus because he met their physical needs. He did things for them. But when he began to teach the deeper truths of God, when he began to say, hey, this lifestyle is going to require something from you, when he began to tell them that, listen, you can't live the way you used to live anymore, people are like, see ya. I'm out. They decided, you know what? I don't want all of that truth. I don't want all of that life-changing stuff. I just want to see what you can do. And that's not what Jesus paid the price for. We have seen this many times here at KICC. We have seen people come in searching. They hear about this church. They come in and they experience the culture. They're like, oh, I love the vibe. Oh, the people are so friendly here. They get all locked in and they love the atmosphere and they love the music. But then when we start to actually teach the deeper things of God, when we actually start to teach on the miracles and wonders of the cross, how when Jesus came and he paid the price, it was once and for all, and we don't have to work anymore. Hello, we don't have to work anymore. Jesus already paid for every salvation, every healing, every blessing. It was done once and for all. He's not going to do it again. Every victory we need has already been paid for by Jesus. We are now living from the finished work of the cross. But people take issue with that. They're like, it's not finished. I gotta work still. I gotta do stuff still. They don't believe it. Or grace. We're big on grace here at KICC. Grace is what? Do you remember the definition? The unmerited? Who knows it? Unmerited, undeserved, unearned. There's one more, un. Wow, guys. The unmerited, undeserved, unearned, and unconditional favor of the Lord. Because of what Jesus did, we get to live in this. Because of what Jesus did, our whole life can be filled with his grace. Because of what Jesus did, we don't have to work for it. We don't have to earn it. I don't have to deserve his goodness. He just gives it to me. Because of the finished work of the cross. But this hurts people. For whatever reason, they don't want to believe it. The deeper things of the Lord. Jesus, when his followers came, he's like, listen, there is a way you need to live. They didn't want it. They didn't want the deeper things of God. They didn't want to know the mysteries of him. They didn't want him. They just wanted his hand. These kind of people remain mere followers of Christ, but they never step into the life of a disciple of Christ. There is a huge difference. Being a disciple has benefits. So they remain followers instead of disciples. Do I need to change? They remain followers instead of disciples. See, we all start off as followers. We all hear about Jesus. We hear about his great love, his great sacrifice. We hear about the good things that he's done. And we're like, oh, I want to follow him. But we are required to move from that following into something more. Followers are enthusiastic. Like, oh, did you see what Jesus did? He just made that guy walk. That guy was at the well for like 50 years. He's old. But now he walks. Oh my gosh, did you see what Jesus did? This guy was like bound with chains. He was running around with the pigs. He was doing, and now he's free. They love the works of Jesus. They're enthusiastic. They're excited. People get excited when people get healed. But they don't move past their enthusiasm, because when more becomes required, people step out. They're like, I'm tapping out. I'm done. That is not the life of a disciple. These deep things of God, these deep things will challenge you. These deep things will cause you to grow. These deep things will ignite things inside of you that you never knew were there. These deep things will take you from glory to glory to glory to glory. These deep things will change your life. These deep things will result in a life transformed for Christ. But you have to will. Denial of self requires us to give up our old ways, to give up our old habits, to give up our old beliefs, to give up the ways we used to do everything that we used to be and become everything that he's created us. That is amazing. But still, those who choose to follow say, yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm just gonna stand over here, but I'll watch. My friends, we are called to the deeper things of Christ. Denial of self requires you to give up things. Denial of self requires you to give up things. It requires us to give up things, guys. It's gonna require more. It's gonna require more. But I promise, or the sacrifice. Do I need to change again? Do we need a battery change? What you give up cannot equate what he has for you. What you give up for him cannot even hold a candle to all that he has for you. What you give up for him can't even be measured in the standards of the world. What you give up for him moves you into the best he has for you. But we have to give things up. These deep things require us to give things up. And sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's hard to give up old habits. Sometimes it's hard to give up old friends. You know, those friends that are not really conducive to the lifestyle you're trying to lead? You got to give them up. Sometimes it's hard to give up bad relationships. Sometimes it's hard to give up old ways of thinking. What do you mean I gotta do it differently? I've done this my whole life. That was your old life. There's a new one now in Christ. It requires us to surrender. To surrender. To give up all that we are, all that we believe, all that we want, all that we have. It requires us to come and lay it at his feet and say, it's not mine, it is yours. It is not me anymore, Jesus. It's you. It is not me anymore. It is not my will, not my way, not my behavior. It's not me. It's you. And that costs us. It costs us. Denial of self is going to cost you, guys. There's this story in the Bible in Mark chapter 10 about the rich young ruler. You guys remember him? Young guy, so eager to serve the Lord. He comes running to Jesus. He's one of those guys that had heard about all the great things he was doing. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, what do I got to do to live forever? And Jesus is like, well, you know all the commandments. You know you're supposed to love your mother and your father. Don't commit murder, all those things. And he says, boastfully maybe, presumptuously, I don't know. But he's like, I did all those things already, Jesus. We all know nobody can keep all of the laws. But anyhow, he stands there and he's like, I did all of those things since I was a small boy, Jesus. There is no guile in me. I'm amazing. And then the Bible, in some translations, it says that Jesus looked at him with love. And he's like, okay, I see, I hear you. Now, you really want to follow me? Go and sell all your goods. Give up all that you have. Give up your wealth. Give up all your possessions. And then come and follow me. And the young man, the Bible says, he walked away sad. He was head down, moping. He turned away and he walked away from Jesus. He came enthusiastically. Jesus, what can I do to have everything that you have? He came enthusiastically. He really wanted what Jesus had. But when Jesus told him the price, he's like, oh, I'm not willing to pay that. And even though he was sad, he still walked away. Even though he was brokenhearted, maybe, he still walked away. Because he decided that he loved his things more than he loved this Jesus. He decided all that he had was more important than what Jesus could possibly give him. And you know what else this says? When he walked away, it says that he didn't trust Jesus to bless him with more. You know what it says? It says that even though Jesus told him, he didn't trust Jesus with his surrender because he didn't know what Jesus was going to do. He didn't know if he was going to be okay. He didn't know if it was going to work out. He didn't trust the one who stood there before him in love and said, give this all up for me and then come. He didn't trust him. The young ruler was a mere follower of Jesus. But he was not willing to pay the price to become a disciple. What is the status of your relationship today, church? What is the status of your relationship with Jesus? Is it conditional? There's so many times in this world we put conditions on things. I'll be your friend if you do this. I'll forgive you if you do this. I'll love you if you do this. I'll provide for you if you do this. So many conditions. Are you in a conditional relationship with Jesus? Do you have demands for your relationship with him? What is the status today of your relationship with Christ? Are there things in your life that will make you walk away from him? Are there things in your life that will make you say, you know what? I'm not willing to do this anymore. Are there things in your life that will make you walk away from his church? Are you carrying offenses? Are you carrying disagreements and unforgiveness? Are you dealing with sin that you're not willing to put away? What is it that is in your life that you're willing to compromise all that he has to remain a follower? Are we in committed relationships or conditional relationships or fully committed relationships with Christ? What is it today? Only you can answer that. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, the Bible talks about three individuals who were just followers of Christ. They weren't willing to pay the price of discipleship. It says in verse 57, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But this person said, no, Lord, no. Let me go first and bury my father. Then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house. And Jesus said to them, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. In every instance, Jesus gave them the price. Jesus wasn't being inconsiderate. He wasn't being mean. He's like, do you really want to follow me? This is what it means. You're going to have to let go of your family. You really want to follow me? This is what it means. You're going to have to put me first. And in each of those instances, which are not just stories, they were realities. Like, these are actual interactions that Jesus had with these men. They were not willing to follow, to go past following Jesus because it was inconvenient for them. They weren't willing to have their lives disrupted in any way to actually become disciples of Jesus because they weren't willing to pay that price. It was too inconvenient. They didn't want to transition from being a follower to being a disciple because discipleship will cost you, and not everybody wants to pay that price. I hope today in this house we are willing to pay the price that it costs to become a disciple of Jesus. They didn't want to pay the price. They wanted all that Jesus had to offer, but they wanted him on their own terms. I'll follow you if you come this way. I'll follow you if you ask me not to give up stuff. I'll follow you if you tell me that I don't have to change my life. See, they had conditions. They had requirements. They were looking for a transactional God. They wanted him on their own terms. And that's like so many people in the kingdom. We can't move to the next level that God has. We can't move into the things that he has for us. We can't move into the greater good and the greater things because we're not willing to let go of the stuff that has been keeping us here. We're not willing to let go of our old habits or our old life or our old ways because in our hearts, we still haven't determined that Jesus is worth it. Because in our hearts, we still haven't determined that we can trust him. Because in our hearts, we still haven't determined that he is better for us. We think we have to hold on to all that we have because we earned it and we did it and we made it. And we have to hold it because this is all I have. It is not all you have. If you're willing, church, if you're willing to say, Jesus, I surrender. I will give it all to you. I promise you, he's not going to make you hurt. He's not going to make you fail. He's not going to make you do without. He's not going to. That's not who he is. Our God is a good God. He is a good God. He will not hurt you. But the reason we don't step into it is because we're not willing to give up the things that we hold so tightly to. From these three guys, we can learn three things about being disciple. First thing is this. Following Jesus involves sacrificing earthly comforts in the pursuit of his greater purpose. Every single one of us in this room has been created with a great purpose. God has called each and every one of us to stand in his kingdom and do something amazing for him. To win a soul, how amazing. To share his love with someone else, how amazing. To pray for someone and see them healed, how amazing. God has called us into greater things. He has called us into greater things, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you these earthly comforts. You're going to have to give up some stuff. You're going to have to give up the bad attitude. You're going to have to give up the grudges and the offenses. You're going to have to give up some stuff, church. Number two, following Jesus demands a steadfast commitment to his call, even when it challenges your personal responsibilities. We saw that with the guys. One of the guys is like, I got to go and say bye to my family. Oh, I got to go bury my dad. These are all examples of personal responsibilities. But Jesus is like, if you're going to commit to me, it's going to require you to put some of those things aside. Like, you can't go to a family barbecue on Sunday if it's service and you're serving. If I've called you to ministry and I've called you to lay down your life and be there for my people, it means that you're going to have to put some things on hold. If I wake you up in the middle of the night and I say, hey, there's a guy down the street who really needs you, you're going to have to get up and give up your sleep. It's going to require something from us. It's going to challenge our personal responsibilities. It's not an easy, breezy, let me do it my way. No, it's his way or it's no way at all. Number three, following Jesus requires an unwavering priority to his call. If he's called you, you got to be all in. If he's put something on your heart and he says, this is what I want you to do for me, he requires you to be all in. You can't stand in this half in, half out. One day I'm in, one day I'm out. One day I like it, one day I don't. You can't be in the middle. You stand in the middle of the road, you're going to get hit over. You got to make a choice. And these guys in these stories, maybe they were just comfortable with being a follower. And maybe they were just comfortable with their old ways of doing things. And maybe they were just comfortable with kind of seeing Jesus from afar, but not really having him be part of their life. Perhaps they were just comfortable in their old ways of doing things. But let me tell you this. They missed out on the chance to do something big. Because Jesus personally went to them and said, go and give this up and come with me. He was inviting them to come. He was inviting them into the work he was going to do. He was inviting them. They missed the invitation of the Lord. Jesus is standing here today and he's inviting you into great things. Are you going to turn him away today, friends? Jesus was inviting them into great things, but they couldn't see it. Their own way of doing things, their own beliefs, their own traditions, their own old ways, all of these things stop them from going deeper. All of these things stop them from getting greater. See, at the time that Jesus was speaking to them, he was in the process of choosing his disciples. These guys could have been one of the 12. But they missed the opportunity to be part of a team that changed the world. They missed the opportunity to be part of a team that got to know Jesus intimately and see him walk and see him talk and see how he does things. They missed out on the opportunity because their own personal requirements were more important than what Jesus was asking them to do. They missed out on being a disciple and stuck with just being a follower. There are many people in this world that claim to follow Jesus, but not everyone truly embraces the depth of what that relationship means. There is a requirement to this relationship, friends. There is a requirement to be his disciple. It is important to understand today that following Christ is not just about admiring his teachings and the great things that he's done. Those are all fancy and they're all beautiful, but that's not all it is. It's not about doing works and fasting and praying and attending church and singing in the worship team and ushering. It's not about any of those things alone. Discipleship is about a wholehearted devotion and commitment to Jesus Christ. You are all in, friends. That's what it means to be a disciple. Even when it's hard, you are all in. Even when things get tough, you are all in. Being a true disciple means that we are willing to surrender all of our worldly comforts, all of our ways, all of our preferences. It means choosing God's kingdom above everything else. Above everything. It means making hard choices. People are afraid of hard choices these days. They just want the easy way in everything. Sometimes life is going to require you to make hard choices. And your relationship with Jesus, if you really want to be a disciple, it's going to require you to make some hard choices. You're going to have to give some stuff up. It's about giving things up. It's about totally surrendering. It's about putting his kingdom above everything else. We are now at the end of 1 year, and we are moving into another. And you know, a lot of times, naturally, people take stock, right? They take an account. Okay, what did 2024, What did I learn? What did I do? What did I accomplish? And now they're moving into 2025 and like, what do I want to do? What do I want to learn? What do I want to accomplish? And they stop and they take stock. Well, I want to encourage you. I want to tell you guys today, we need to stop and take stock of our relationship with Jesus. Where do we stand with him at the end of 2024? Where do we stand with him as we're crossing into a new year? What is the level of our commitment? What's our relationship status? Where do we stand with him today? Are you truly committed to Jesus? Are you truly there? Or is it time to maybe take a step back and reevaluate? Wait a minute. Have I given my all? Have I actually surrendered? Am I actually placing him first, or am I allowing other things to come before him? My own comforts, my own desires, my own wants, my own needs. Am I putting those things before Jesus? It's time to take stock, guys. It's time to take an account. Being faithful to Jesus requires a radical shift in how we live. We are no longer to look back with any hesitation, but we are to move forward with full resolve, full commitment that, you know what, Jesus, I am all in. Nothing is going to sway me. Jesus is calling us, friends, to a deeper walk with him. Not just the usual religious niceties, the shallow relationship, the inconsistencies. He doesn't want that. He wants disciples. He wants people that are committed to him. It's not going to be easy. It'll cost you. Nothing worth having is easy. We know that in life. I want to tell you, nothing beautiful worth having is easy. This beautiful relationship that Jesus wants you to have with him, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost all of us. It costs us every single day. It's going to cost you. In every situation, it's going to cost you. Do I put the kingdom first, or do I put my own way first? Do I do what Jesus would do, or do I do what Christine would do? What Christine would do is probably not a good thing. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost us, friends. The hardest struggle that I've ever faced in my relationship is surrendering my will to be his disciple. Following the Holy Spirit when he reveals his word and he shows me the areas that I need to change, that's not easy. When he highlights, hey, you know what, this is not a very good area right here, Christine. You see what you're doing here? You need to change this. You need to change this. It's not easy. It's extremely hard to show grace when you've been hurt, but we have to, because Jesus showed us the ultimate grace. We were dead in our sin. We were filled with lives of iniquity. We were broken. We were disgusted. We were awful. And Jesus, in his great love and his great grace, came and he said, I don't care what they look like now. I know what they're going to be. I'm going to pay the price for them. It's hard. It's hard to change the way you respond when people are rude to you and you can't be rude back. When there's people driving on the road and they cut you off and you can't respond back. It's hard. It's hard to do what Jesus would do, because naturally in our flesh we want to react. We want to do what the old Christine would do, or what the old Don would do, or what the old Mudgy would do. We want to react. But we can't. Not if it doesn't correspond with the kingdom. It's hard to give up comfort and conveniences to follow him. You know, there are days when I don't feel that great and I would have loved to have stayed home, but I can't. Because I made a commitment. I made a commitment to his house. I made a commitment to the call that he gave me. I made a commitment to him. I said yes. So you know what? Even though I don't feel great, guess what? I got to get my butt up and get to church. I got to get my butt up and go do the thing he's called me to, because I said yes. I made a commitment. It's not easy. It's not easy. I want to take my money and spend it on nice things. I like to shop, but sometimes the kingdom needs my money more and I can't shop. It takes a commitment. It is not an easy thing to endure. It is not an easy thing to sacrifice. It is not an easy thing to go through difficulties and still prioritize the kingdom of God over what we're facing. Sometimes we go through hard things in life. We experience loss. People hurt us. We struggle with addictions. Our bodies get sick. Sometimes bad things happen. Hard things happen. Sad things happen. Our hearts are broken. All these things happen that we never expected, that we never dreamed, that we never wanted. But we have all these situations and we still have to serve the Lord despite what's going on around us. It's not easy, friends. Being a true disciple of Jesus, we need to understand that it is a journey that often requires us to leave behind our own personal ambitions, our old ways of thinking, our need for revenge. You all know what I'm talking about. Somebody does something to you, you want to get them back. You want to tit for tat. You insulted me, I'm going to insult you back. Oh, you hit me, I want to hit you back. But being a true disciple means that we have to let go of those things. Sometimes we might have to let go of the pull of family. Our family always gets together on Sundays. Can't do it, got to go to church. Can't do it, got to serve. It's going to require. Being a disciple of Jesus is not an occasional act. There's no temporary anything if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, friends. It is a radical, life-changing commitment. It's going to continually cost you. It's going to continually cost us to live in this life of denial of self. It's going to continually cost us. But I promise you today, the end is beautiful. What he has for us is amazing. Today I want to encourage you to set your heart to be a disciple of Jesus and not just a mere follower. Don't just look at Jesus for what he can do for you. Don't look at him for his hand. Don't look at him for what he says. Look at him for who he is. Look at him for what he's done and who he wants to be to you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your healer. He's already done all of these things for us. He wants us now to step in it and receive it. This coming year, will you commit to growing in your relationship with him, or will you just stay where you are? It's time to take an account. This coming year, is it going to be this just the same as 2024, or is there going to be anything different about how you serve and how you live and what you do for him? Will you grow, or will you stay? Will you stand for him, or will you just fall for everything? See, if you don't have a standard, if you don't set those things in your heart and in your mind, you're going to fall for anything. Whatever the wind blows your way, you're going to be like, oh, that sounds great, I'll go. You need to make it a commitment today. Will we be distracted, or will we be committed? Will we be all in, or will we be half in? Tonight, before we leave this place, we need to leave, my friends, with a new resolve and a new commitment that I am going to go all in with Jesus. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to bring my gifts to him. I'm going to bring everything I have to him. I'm going to go all in and make sure that I am living as a disciple, a committed life to him, and I'm not just a follower. Let's do it, guys. Would you stand with me all over this place? Is there anybody here who wants to be a sold-out, radical, committed disciple of Jesus? Is there anyone here today who says, you know what, I'm all in. I'm all in. I may have fumbled the ball in 2024, but I'm not doing it now, going into 2025. Tonight, right now, this moment, I'm making a commitment to my Savior. I am making a commitment. I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm actually going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to live how he wants me to live. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I am not going to be a follower. I'm not going to have no temporary 5-minute relationship with Jesus. I am all in. Come hell or high water, I am going to serve him. I am going to love him. I am going to do what he wants me to do.